ever since this government has come in, particularly since that moment, I have been hearing all along that India is a great country. It has always been a great country with very intelligent people, and it has been a country all along, India. I laugh. Let me tell you why. When the East India Company came in, they came in and conquered India, the better part of it, and finally handed it over to the Queen. But for the first 100 years of rule of the Britishers in India, it was not the rule of the British Empire to which India succumbed. These very intelligent people, this great nation, it succumbed to a trading company. At the time of Battle of Plassey, the East India Company at its office in London had 35 employees, only 35, much lesser than what a medium-sized company in India had. With 35 employees in the London office, they made inroads into a country of very intelligent and brave people, which we are told to believe. And in just a few years, they started conquering it. Who is they? Not the British Empire, not the Queen, not the 10 Downing Street, but a goddamn trading company which had like all multinational corporation, and a trading company which had as normal commercial ventures of annual meetings and stock trading and partnership, etc. They started conquering the mighty kings of India with their fierce mustaches and their love for India as such. This company, within a few years, started subduing the mighty kings. And with what? Not with the money of England and the soldiers coming in from England. The money came in from India. It is the Indian sates who lend money to the East India Company. Like we put in money into a company, hoping for better benefits when the payout starts. It is exactly the same. It is the Indian sates who lend money to the British East India Company in a hope that they'll get good returns. And they did get good returns. Because East India Company had realized one thing: always be ethically correct in business dealings. So the Sethjis never got good returns when they lent their money to the Indian Maharajas. They never paid them back. But the East India Company religiously paid the right dividends and a lot of profits. So it is Indians that gave the money to the East India Company to subdue Indians. And where did the men come from? Well, they too were Indians. They found a better employment under the East India Company than with the local Maharajas, whom we are very fond of applauding. And why so? Because the Indian Maharajas would never pay the soldiers in time. Whereas the East India Company always paid well, and to those who died, paid jagirs and titles. So it was a much better deal for the Indian Sethjis and the Indian peasant, for the Sethjis to lend his money to East India Company rather than to the Maharaja for the defense of India, and for the peasant to join the East India Company as a soldier rather than the Maharaja. After all, he needed money. Who paid better money and better in time is the East India Company. And with this, they started conquering India. And they started conquering at a pace that has not been seen anywhere. Very soon, this company, trading company, subdued what was at that time one of the most rich and most powerful country in the world, almost a subcontinent. It's an unbelievable story. What Indians are and what our ancestors were, and what is their great love for the motherland as we make it out to be. Nonsense. Like all people, we love to make a fast buck, country or no country. And India was never a country. The East India Company never attacked India. They crept in against the Marathas and against this and then against the Mughals, which are all independent entities. There was nothing known as India. These guys were in any case fighting each other. They just quietly came in and made the good buck and finally handed over a whole nation to the Queen, who finally, after another 75-80 years in 1947, divided whatever was the loot into two countries. For the first time, then known as India and Pakistan, and went away. So what's wrong with that? It was for them to decide to divide it the way they felt like, because they had made that out of nothing. It's as like I making money and then I give it to my sons the way I feel like. It's my money. I have made it. So the Britishers had made, first the East India Company and the British government later, made a large country and divided it into two, India and Pakistan. Before that, neither India existed as a country nor did Pakistan. So let's get our history right. Alok Astana at Thane. Of late, there is a fair bit of a cheer in India that maybe BJP is going down and maybe the opposition wins in 2024, particularly in the state elections in Karnataka that's polling today. The feeling is that, well, there is at least a 30% or at least a 20% chance that things will get better in India with the BJP going out in 2024. And in Karnataka, there is a 70 to 80% chance that Congress will win and things will get better. But I don't see that scale of probabilities to be right in any way. That is, that overall in 2024, there is at least a 20-25% chance that things will be improved. And in Karnataka, there's a 70% chance that things will get better. Absolutely not. The chance that things will improve in the country in 2024 and in Karnataka, that goes to poll today, is very, 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 very slim. I mean, it doesn't matter. Of course, there is a fair bit of a chance that BJP might lose in 2024, and is almost a certainty that they'll lose in Karnataka today. But that doesn't change a thing. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The other options are equally bad, including the option of Congress itself winning a majority and not having to rely on others. Absolutely not. Nothing in the country is going to improve unless Congress wins a clear majority. And that "and" is important. And Rahul Gandhi is the undisputed leader of Congress. He is a good man. He is the only good man left in India who's in the fray. And there might be good men around who are not taking part in politics. I don't know about them. You think the other leaders of Congress, if Rahul Gandhi's restraining hand of decency is not on them, will be any better than Modi? And Akhilesh Yadav and Nitish Kumar, the guy who lets out murderers so that he gets more votes of Rajputs, will he be any better? I mean,
Mamata Banerjee, Akhilesh Yadav, that Odisha chap whose name you don't hear for 20 years. Will any of them, individually or put together, be any better than the present regime? As I said, even Congress, if they win a clear majority, but Rahul Gandhi is not on top as the Prime Minister, will anything change? Absolutely not. Because the problem is not with the MPs and MLAs. I mean, they are scum of the earth in India all along. The problem is with the people, that is us. To us, nothing matters, you know. To the citizens, nothing matters. Nothing matters if an MP, Brijbhushan Singh or whatever, the wrestler, who screws females and touches their chests and breasts, it's all recorded. Is there, and he's selected as an MP. I mean, somebody votes for him. Everybody knows what the guy is going around doing. People vote for him. People will still vote for him, or if not him, somebody else, this time of the Congress, supported by the Congress, or of Mamata Banerjee's party. It is people who vote for them. I don't think that the people vote for somebody else and somebody else wins in India. Mostly that's not the case. People vote. They will vote for a man in the second elections in 2019, I think, after he has done demonetization, after he has acted so irresponsibility in COVID, people will vote. They still voted for him and they will again vote. Indians are like that. It matters not. The pain of others doesn't bother him at all, bother them at all. It doesn't matter what the people all around are doing. As long as I am okay, I am alive, all is okay. I mean, today they are voting for the scums of BJP and supporting the scums of BJP, and they'll still vote for Brijbhushan Singh if he stands for elections again. So if these are the voters, how do things change? So how do things change if Rahul Gandhi is on top? There is a very slim chance, because he's a decent human being. He's a human being, the type of person whose decency has yet not been seen in India. Maybe he turns people of India around by using a very firm hand to instill his sense of decency over the government and takes action against those who don't follow the rules of decency. Otherwise, and the chance of Rahul Gandhi winning, Congress winning with Rahul Gandhi being an undisputed leader and being allowed to do what he wants to do, is very, 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 very slim. Because of his decency alone, he may not push his weight enough. And unless in the India, with the citizens of India of today, unless we are kicked and our heads are battered, we will not improve. We are the bums, we will remain to be a bums. And a decent man like Manmohan Singh couldn't do a thing because you're too decent. I'm afraid that even if Rahul Gandhi wins, he might just be too decent to not batter our heads, and he may go the Manmohan Singh way. But well, he is a little resolute over Manmohan Singh. So well, take your chances. How much is the probability that Congress wins clearly and Rahul is the undisputed leader and he gets that steel in him to batter our heads and change Indians, which are 82% Hindus, to not be a total bums that we and they are? That is the one chance that the India of tomorrow will be better. Otherwise, it's an MP of Akhilesh Gandhi's party or Mamata Gandhi's party or even of Congress that will screw females, wrestlers. It will be somebody else who will be doing what Congress MPs and MLAs and CMs and PMs have been doing. It really won't change. So understand the probability of that occurrence of what I am suggesting. Rahul winning and he having enough steel. Otherwise, it really doesn't matter. Aloka sthana thane.